Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live from the Green Space. Many of you are familiar with our Facebook project, Help Wanted, that we started in response to the spike in unemployment following the financial crisis, where we tried to start a community of job seekers offering each other encouragement and advice in a social networking context that is ongoing at facebook.com/helpwanted. One possible response to an uncertain employment outlook is working for yourself. It's not for everyone, but there are a myriad of goods and services to provide in a city and a metro area this size, and we have invited several entrepreneurs to join us in the Green Space and tell us a little bit about what's involved in starting up a business here, not to mention during a recession. We will meet them in a second, but first, joining me on stage for this discussion is a man whose mission is to start up, restart, kickstart New York's economy, Seth Pinsky, the president of the New York City Economic Development Corporation. Seth, welcome to the Green Space.
Thank you. Yeah.
And back to the show. Tough times for many businesses, but is it possible to start a new business in a recession?
Absolutely. And, you know, the good news is that as difficult as this downturn has been, and it's clearly been difficult for a lot of people, New York City's performance during the downturn has actually been better than the nation as a whole. I think that the statistic is that from the peak of the boom to the trough of the recession, the rest of the country lost somewhere close to 7.5% of all private sector jobs. The equivalent number here in New York is closer to 5%. But as I mentioned, it's clearly been a difficult period for people. And I think that what a lot of people who have lost jobs here in New York have turned to, and have turned to quite successfully, is starting new businesses. In the first quarter of this year alone, we've seen venture capital funding, for example, growing in New York City by 19%. And this is at a time when venture capital funding around the country was shrinking. So clearly, the people with the money and people from across the country are seeing that entrepreneurialism here in New York is not just alive, but is alive and well.
Now, we didn't worry about you getting lost on your way here, since your organization operates an incubator upstairs in this building. So give us an example of the services that the city offers to entrepreneurs just starting out.
Well, we're doing a number of different things. For example, we've launched a series of training programs with SUNY's Levin Institute, as well as the Department of Small Business Services and the Kauffman Foundation. We've had about 1,000 entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs go through these training programs, and we're expecting another 1,000 or so in the next year or so. And these programs teach individuals who have never been entrepreneurs what they need to know to become entrepreneurs, and people who have been entrepreneurs what they need to know to navigate a difficult economic environment. We've also worked to try to provide low-cost space, like the incubator program that you've mentioned. The incubator here on Varick Street was started with NYU Polytechnic University as well as Trinity Real Estate. And it's chock full of new businesses. We have over 30 new businesses and over 100 people working. And we've already attracted over $8 million in venture capital funding just since last July. And then the third area that we're focused on is trying to get funding to startup businesses. So, for example, we cut the unincorporated business tax, which helps some 17,000 small businesses in New York to save significant sums of money. And we've also launched a new venture capital fund, which has $22 million to invest in startup businesses here in New York.
We'll meet some of the entrepreneurs who've joined us in the audience here in just a second. But, you know, later in this program, we'll be talking to people from Hudson County, New Jersey, as part of our anecdotal census series. So they may have a different answer to this question. But if you're just starting out, why pick New York City and not go across the river to Jersey City or wherever, where rents and presumably taxes are lower?
Well, the first thing is that for the future of this country, it's important that we encourage entrepreneurialism, not just here in New York, but across the entire nation. I think it's very important that we grow the small business sector, that we grow new businesses with new ideas everywhere. So we don't view ourselves in competition with places like New Jersey. We hope New Jersey does well just as we hope we do well. I think the reason people come to New York to start their businesses is a combination of factors. First of all, one of the, I guess, silver linings in what otherwise have been the gray clouds of the downturn is that the cost of doing business here in New York has come down substantially. And so now rents in New York are competitive in ways that they haven't been in many years. Also, I think it's important to remember that costs aren't the only factor that small businesses look at. I mean, if that were the case, then Silicon Valley, which is a very expensive part of the country, would not be a successful area for startup businesses. The reason businesses come to New York is because of the assets that we have. It's proximity to customers, it's proximity to other businesses, and most importantly, it's proximity to talent. The labor pool here is deep and it's diverse.
So let me turn to the entrepreneurs in our audience. And again, if you're watching, if you're listening somewhere not in the green space, you can log on to a computer and watch this program. Since we're in the green space today for the Brian Lehrer Show, just go to WNYC.org. And you'll be able to get on to our live streaming video right from the homepage. Why don't each of you tell us briefly, 30 seconds each, what kind of business you do have, where is it located, and why did you locate your business where you did? Puneet, where are you? Hi. Stand up, and we're getting the microphone over to you right now. Tell us your full name, your business, where are you, how long you been there?
I'm Puneet Mehta, and I'm representing my co-founders Archana Pachirajan and Sanpreet Bhatia from My City Way. We are actually an EDC-funded company. We are funded by the fund that was just mentioned, and we are building a mobile apps platform for every major city in the world. When we won the NYC Big Apps competition, our app NYC Way, which is a one-stop NYC application on your iPhone, it was very widely accepted, used by over 300,000 people. And then the three of us decided to quit our jobs on Wall Street and start this as a business.
That's great. Now, tell us very briefly, what does this app do that won the New York City Big Apps competition, which was run by the city government?
It is a one-stop mobile application for everything New York. So you can look at everything from dining, nightlife, events, tours. You can even look at restaurant inspection results. And
as of a few days from now when they come out, right?
Exactly.
They're all going to be getting letter grades soon.
And it ties your different components of your NYC experience with that one thread. So everything from transit. So you get pretty much everything in one place.
And you can look at the Consumer Reports rating of your iPhone. Well, never mind.
You're not getting there.
Not a good day to raise that. Thank you, and we'll talk to you more in a minute. Rob Kalin, the CEO of Etsy, is here. Hi, Rob. You are a cult hero to many people, and a lot of others out there don't know Etsy, so why don't you tell us what it is?
Sure. So Etsy at Etsy.com is an online marketplace for really, really, really small businesses. So the Small Business Administration defines a small business as 500 people or less, and to me, that's far, far too large. And so Etsy is empowering all these very, very small businesses to make a living making things, not just handmade goods, but also supplies and vintage. So really just kind of like a bionic armor suit for people trying to start and run small businesses. It was something that I started when I graduated from college with my BA and looked at the job market, and I was trying to start a furniture company because that BA didn't really get me any jobs that I thought would take advantage of my education. And so I said, okay, well, the best way to do that is to just start my own job. And I'd say that, you know, the entrepreneurs here are the ones who are kind of creating the jobs that I think will revitalize the economy. And we're located in Brooklyn, which we chose for the climate.
Because it's warmer than the Bronx, which is up north.
Yes, and much sunnier than Manhattan, which you would never know unless you live there.
Unless you go there. Get on what remains of the M train and visit Brooklyn. Okay, Lenny Kellis. Hi.
I am the editor and publisher of QueensMamas.com. We're an online resource for Queens parents and families, sort of introducing the borough to what's out there for parents and families to do. I've been a mother for 11 years in Queens with my family, and I found a lack of resources, so we went out and created this blog. And we are the proud first place winners of the Queens Economic Development Corporation Startup Business Plan Competition. So that was news that we received last Thursday. I'm really excited about
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
And
what do you get as a result of that?
We got money, which is great. And we got a free website, so we're going to overhaul the website and make it a little more user-friendly and be able to host more ads and do sort of things like that. And we got a one-year subscription to the Queen's Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to hopefully meet some new people and get out there.
Fabulous. Good luck.
Thanks.
Now, Seth Pinsky from the New York City Economic Development Corporation. This is actually a thing in the world of economic development, isn't it, to hold competitions? Because we've heard two of our guests now already talk about winning one competition or another sponsored by government, by local government, to help start a business. It's not the way things usually work in the business world, but there is actually a business model here, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the advantage of competitions is that you encourage lots of people to think creatively. And though maybe only a small subset of them will end up winning and getting the advantages of winning, all of these people have been encouraged to put the time in to try to create whatever it is that you're looking to create. So, for example, with the Big Apps competition that was referenced earlier, the city made dozens and dozens of data sets available that were basically stuck on computers in various agencies of the city. And we said to application developers, we're going to make this available to you for free. See what you can do with it. Make it available to the public because it's their data, after all. We're going to then let the public choose what they think is the most useful application. We're going to choose what we think is the most useful application. But at the end of the competition, it wasn't just the winners who were winners. Everyone was a winner because the other applications are out there, are being used, and are making these data available for the people of the city. It's similar to what we're doing with a business plan competition where last year we went to somewhere between 10 and 15 international universities. And we said to students from those universities, come up with a business plan that you think makes particular sense for here in New York. And we received a number of business plans from them. We picked three finalists. We flew them to New York. Almost all of the people were people who had never been here to New York City. We sold them on the city as a place in which to locate business, and we ended up selecting a group of winners from India, but all of the people who came here, all of the finalists, are now really interested in doing business, and we're even working with some of the businesses that weren't the winners.
Let's continue to meet some of our entrepreneurs. Is Alyssa here? Alyssa Zygmunt? Hi there. Tell us real quick, where's your business? What is it?
Well, my name is Alyssa Zygmunt, and my business is called Brooklyn Rehab. I'm based out of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, but I exist primarily online. I am actually one of Rob's success cases. I started an Etsy store, and it took very little overhead, and I didn't have to pay for a storefront or anything. I could just create a business online and benefit from all of the active, interested shoppers in the community.
What do you sell? What do you sell?
I actually sell vintage objects that I update in some way, and I also make porcelain objects. So I actually left my fashion design job where I was designing for the masses, sending things over to factories to have produced, to actually bring it back home and work in a studio and create things and then sell that, you know, from the heart to everyone.
Congratulations. So
thank
Seth,
you.
Etsy is cutting out the middleman, as he said, and it's an opportunity for people like Alyssa to start their own businesses, and people like Rob himself, who had a furniture business originally, to sell directly to consumers online without a storefront. Is that good or bad for business in New York overall, cutting out the storefronts?
Well, you know, I think if we were to lose storefronts entirely, that would be one story. I think what we're really doing here is we're growing the pie. The retail business in New York has been affected like it's been affected everywhere, but I don't foresee a day when physical stores disappear. There will always be objects that people will need to be able to go out and acquire and look at. And so what we're doing with businesses like the ones that you've heard about is we're bringing consumers who maybe aren't here in New York to do their shopping in New York so that New York salespeople, New York designers can capture business wherever that business happens to be around the world. And I think that's a good thing for the city.
We'll continue in a minute live from the Green Space, meet more of our entrepreneurs, find out about some of the obstacles to starting a business in New York City. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live from the Green Space. The Brian Lehrer Show is not live today, so we won't be taking any calls. But we thought we'd take this opportunity to bring you some of our favorite recent segments. So enjoy, and remember that our comments page is always open. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Live from the green space here on the ground floor of 160 Varick Street at WNYC, I'm Brian Lehrer. Thanks again to our great audience for coming out today from all over the metro area. We have on stage with us now Seth Pinsky, the president of the New York City Economic Development Corporation, and in our audience, many entrepreneurs from around New York City who have started businesses of different kinds, as you've been hearing. Again, a reminder, listeners, if you're around a computer and you want to watch us do this show, you can always watch when we're in the green space because we have live streaming video from here. So just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Let's keep meeting some of our entrepreneurs. Dr. Andre Fenton, president of the BioSignal Group, is here. Hi, Dr. Fenton. Thank you so much for coming.
So I'm a neuroscientist. I'm a professor at NYU as well as the State University of New York Downstate Medical Center. And what I study is how the brain stores information in memory and expresses that information to compute information. And it occurred to us while we were recording from the brains of rats and mice with small electronics that these electronics were not only useful for generating that sort of basic science knowledge, but it had the opportunity to transform how people studied and observed functional brain activity, especially in emergency situations. So if you end up in the hospital and you have a brain injury, a potential brain injury, or an altered mental state, there's no good technology for rapidly finding out how your brain's doing. We're using that technology in the laboratory, and the company BioSignal Group is developing that as a medical device.
So you're inventing a device, a new kind of EEG, basically.
Absolutely. We're taking a miniature version of an EEG machine, packaging that in a kit so that the vision is ultimately anybody anywhere will be able to record mm-hmm. their EEG.
That's great. Is it a good fit to be a scientist and an entrepreneur? They're very different kinds of mindsets typically, right?
They typically are, but what you get trained as a scientist is to solve problems. And ultimately, that's what I've discovered being an entrepreneur is about, solving problems, not necessarily the problems you were trained to solve, but finding how to solve those problems. And they seem to fit together in my case.
Thank you. And Seth Pinsky, this is what everybody says is the future if we can make it happen, and that is biotech. But we're saying that here. They're saying that in Albany. People are saying that in Nebraska. Everybody thinks that they're going to be the next Silicon Valley. How do we make it so?
Well, we have a three-pronged strategy for transforming the city's economy. One is to help so-called legacy industries, industries like media, Wall Street, to transition from 20th century business models to 21st century business models. Another piece of our strategy is to try to attract businesses in which New York has historically had competitive advantages, but for one reason or another, we've simply hit below our weight. And bioscience is a good example of that. What we're doing in the field of bioscience is hosting training programs to help our bioscientists to access federal funding that's available for startup businesses. We're opening over 1.5 million square feet of new commercial wet lab space and many other initiatives, including a new bioscience research and development tax credit that was passed last year. But then the third aspect of our strategy is one that's agnostic as to industry, because as you point out, historically, governments haven't done a very good job of identifying what the next big thing is going to be. In fact, oftentimes when they think they're chasing the next big thing, what they're really doing is chasing the last big thing. And so what we're trying to do is to encourage entrepreneurialism regardless of what the industry is, because we think that the best way to ensure that the next big thing happens here in New York is to put the tools in the hands of our smart and talented workforce, which is the best place for those tools to be.
All right, we've got a few people with us in the food industry. Jessamine Waldman, Executive Director of Hot Bread Kitchen. Jessamine, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Hot Bread Kitchen is like the United Nations of bread. We are a social enterprise and workforce and micro-enterprise development program for immigrant women. So we bake a line of multi-ethnic breads and sell those breads to support ESL classes and other training that is essential for foreign-born women to get ahead in the culinary industry. You started off the segment asking why New York City, and we have benefited greatly from launching our program in New York City. We won last year in 2008 SBS as a Small Business Services Best Small Business in Queens. We sell through the Green Market System. We're in Union Square. And most recently, we were awarded a contract from EDC to operate workforce development and incubator space at 115th and Park Avenue. So we're really excited to announce that.
That's exciting. Now, are you a business or are you like a social service agency?
We are a social enterprise. So the sale of bread sustains all of the training operations.
And you train?
We train foreign-born women.
To work in bakeries?
To get ahead in the culinary industry. So we're looking to place women in management track positions in the culinary industry. Or as you can imagine, a lot of the women that we work with have aspirations to be their own business owners. So
all
we
right.
are, in a way, the sort of first level of screening for the next generation of entrepreneurs.
That is fabulous. Kiwi Landreth, owner of the Kumquat Cupcakery.
I know, it's a tongue twister.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's Kevi Landreth, actually.
Kevi, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And yes, yeah, so I own Kumquat Cupcakery, which is located in Brooklyn. And it's part of the big cupcake boom that's going on. But yeah, it's all online. And we sell for parties and weddings. And we're located out of Brooklyn, which is really great. And it's been very beneficial for me just because I'm not a big business person, but there's such a community of people starting up businesses over there that everyone really wants to help you. And so, you know, like restaurants bartering space for, you know, your goods, and it's great.
And so, you're in Williamsburg, right?
I'm actually, I'm based over on Flatbush right now, but we're sort of in between kitchens.
Why cupcakes? Why have cupcakes become all the rage in yeah. the last couple of years?
I mean, they're just so much fun, you know? There's really not much to it other than that. And I mean, I love cupcakes, but I love baking, and I saw this trend starting to happen, and I just got really into it, and I was like, wow, this is so much fun, and you can do so much with it. And I mean, it makes people happy. So.
Good. Congratulations. Yeah. Celine Legros, am I saying your name right? Hi, Celine.
Yes, hi. I'm the owner and the cook of a pastry business. So it's an alternative of cupcakes. It's French mini pastries. And I started the business a year ago in recession time. I used to be a lawyer at the New York bar. I just switched career. And I'm having more fun in cooking French mini pastries. I do sell online. I don't have a baking shop yet. I do hope eventually to open a baking shop. I rent a kitchen in the Bronx, which is a very big space and affordable rent. And yes, I'm looking for an investor or more fundings to be able to open a shop.
Okay. KY Chow, where are you? Hello, Mr. Chow.
Hi, my name is KY. I started out as a new immigrant in 1987. We are unlucky to hit the October crash, so I was not able to get back to my old industry as a merchant banker from Hong Kong. So I started to look for opportunity. The opportunity is that I see that there's opening shop in Chinatown. There's good supply of labor, but they don't have good market. They're doing the manual, traditional business is the manual, take-out manual, which is a low cost of business. So I start thinking about that, doing a formal research that I can bring this office to the designer market and working with the MBE direction, because there's so much incentive from the city. So that working on the MBE, we are able to satisfy by New York State, by New York City, by New York, New Jersey Minority Supply Council, by US PAC and Port Authority. So we try to grow the business. We started out with a small business in Chinatown, 850 square feet, and we moved to 9,400 square feet. By 1997, while there's a boom in the market, while we are not able to renew our lease. But with the help of NYCDC, Sapinski is here. He was able to find me a location in Long Island City. He gave me a big loan so that we can have our premises of 18,000 square foot, a facility of our own. We are in the designer market. We are now having a couple of contracts with the city. This is our direction. We hope that we can more on the RFP to get more contract from the city to grow my business,
That is great, and I hope you do. And Gertie Renee, and once again, am I saying your name right? Hi, Gertie.
Good morning. I'm the proud owner of Sankofa Salon Incorporated. We're located in Cambria Heights, Queens, and we're a full-service salon, And basically, we built the business on four foundational tenets, first being exceptional customer service, two being the use of quality tools and products, three, continuous education of ourselves and our clients, and four, community outreach. And a key word that she was saying was social enterprise. And we seek to service our clients, but we also have community outreach. Our first year being in business, we ended up winning the Small Business Development Corporation's Minority Entrepreneurs of the Year. We worked in collaboration with Dress Up Success, Inc. to provide some of the clients there with services to go out back into the workforce. So we really are trying to be more than just your average salon. This year, we started a restoration fund for the people in Haiti, where we've been able to have people, when they come in and get service, make some donations. We've already made a trip down there, have another one coming up this Friday. And so we try to just bring together the community and reaching out while making you look good on the inside and out.
That is great. Well, hooray. Well, we have used most of this segment to just introduce you out there in Radio Land to a whole lot of New Yorkers who are starting businesses now or who have recently started businesses, all kinds of New Yorkers in all corners of the city starting small businesses who almost never get any exposure in the media. Let's use our last 5 minutes to ask all of you a few quick questions, like, what's the hardest part? Who wants to raise your hand and say, what's the hardest part? Paneer.
Actually, I would like to answer that question differently. And it is the best time when it is a recessionary environment to start a business. When we thought about doing that, the three of us, and Archana found out about the NYC Big Apps competition, we said, hey, is it the right time to quit our jobs? We are comfortable out there. And we are making this money, we are paying our bills. But then the toughest part is letting go of what you're doing. And the toughest part is just taking that step.
So that's your advice to people out there who may be considering that step.
Exactly.
Rather than just looking for a customary job. And,
absolutely.
And I'm going to have to interrupt because I realized that I skipped somebody. Todd, are you here?
Yes.
Todd, forgive me. Todd Fairbairn.
Yes. We manufacture...
Your company is called?
It's called Otte Gear. And we're based
O-T-T-E.
In... O-T-T-E.
Gear.
And we manufacture high-tech outerwear. And it was interesting how we got started in the business is we're all outdoor guys, we're all skiers, we're all climbers, we're all hikers. And after 9/11, what we heard was a lot of our troops were going over to Afghanistan and the clothing systems that the government hadn't given them were not really working the way that they had initially wanted them to. And so they came back and they contacted us and said, hey, can you guys make things a little differently? We know your background is in high-tech apparel. Can you move pockets here? Can you do this? Can you do that? And we just jumped on board. And
You're manufacturing for the military when your pants are called a clothing system.
Yeah, and
what do you need from city government?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we just reached out to EDC, and we're just starting to learn about the opportunities. But, I mean, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but, you know, as your business is growing and you need a lot of cash, and the environment now versus what it was a few years ago is quite different. I mean, you know, walking in and seeing our bankers right now is quite different now than it was a few years ago. So those have been the major challenges in growing a business is finding out funding.
Who else on the panel has had problems getting credit in the last couple of years? Credit, KY? Credit's a problem bigger than it was?
I think now because of the down of the business, the turnaround of the business and profit margin. So we knew your credit line from the bank is a really challenge because they're tightening up the cash flow. This is the major challenge for most of the business, of small business in New York City.
Who else? You have Seth Pinsky right here. Rob, did you want to say something? Rob Kalin from Etsy. Here's an opportunity to tell city government when we always hear about bureaucracy, about taxes, about regulation.
Yeah, sure. So I actually went to my grandfather's advice before I went to the government. So it shows how far you can go. Now, I just wanted to put a counterpoint on that, which to me, value for entrepreneurs is in connections between people. And this is one thing that you can do in New York City that you can't do anywhere else. I've always thought if you were an alien species visiting the world, if you ever wanted a cross-section of humanity, you just pluck a subway car. And so there's something so beautiful about that here. And, you know, we're inheriting this broken education system because the only way to learn how to run a business is to run a business. And so the fact that those connections between people here are so numerous makes New York City one of the most beautiful places to start a business.
And Seth Pinsky, president of the New York City Economic Development Corporation, will get the last word in our last 30 seconds. Talk to the folks out there who may have been looking for conventional jobs and now are a little more inspired to at least think about starting their own business.
Well, one thing I just wanted to respond directly and to make people aware of the fact that there's a program that the city sponsors called Capital Access that works with financial institutions to ensure that people who have historically been bankable can become bankable. And I hope that you'll look at EDC for help with that. But the bottom line is that entrepreneurship is the future of this city, and we've got to do everything that we can to encourage people to think in new ways in order to ensure that the city has a great economic future.
New York has always been about progressive politics, immigration, and entrepreneurship, and it still is. Thank you all for coming this morning to the Green Space. Brian Lehrer, more in a minute.